All right, I got you covered.
Where are we?
Okay, we finished off last time. Talking on Chafalafam at base, two lines up from the bottom. We were talking about this guy. It was a kind of a Gedolim story. But the particular Gadol that was not a rabbi type, he was a doctor. And it was describing that he had a certain merit, that he had a visit from Shemayim every day, something that Abaye and Rava were just said last time, that, don't feel jealous. He's able to do things you are not able to do, because this guy is in the workplace, and he makes Kiddush Hashems all the time at work, and you guys don't have the opportunity, so therefore don't expect to be able to come up to that level. So then in describing what was the great Kiddush Hashem that this doctor, Abba Umana means an Uman, means a blood letter or a doctor. Anyway, so what would he do? He would be very careful about tznius, and he wouldn't charge money to people who couldn't pay, and he wouldn't embarrass people. And then he was also very hospitable, and here's what it says. It says in two lines up from the bottom, it says, Yom Achad, one day, Shadar Abaye, who was the one most jealous of this Abba Umna, sent a couple of his students, Zuga de Rabbanan Lemivdike, to test him. I would just say, I don't know what the whole concept there is, don't try this at home. So they're going to test this guy and see whether he's really righteous. Osvinu v'yachlinu v'yashkinu, so he sent these talmidim there to be guests at his home, and the doctor took care of them. Umach lehu bistarki abililya. And, okay, so whatever. In other words, he took care of them in the lap of luxury. Letzafra, in the morning, we're in Chof Pesam at Aleph, top line. Letzafra, the next morning, Karchinu. So these Talmidim, they rolled up all the bedding and all of the expensive stuff that they were given the night before. Vishaklinu, Vikamu, Vinafkalu. They took it and they left. Vinafkalu, Lashuka. And they went out to the mall. Yashkachinu, and this doctor encountered them. Amru lei, they said to him, Lishai mei mar heichi shavu. Maybe you have a good eye for these kinds of things. How much would you pay for these beddings? Amar lehu, and he tells them, Achiva hachi. He says, this is what I would pay. Amru lei v'dilma shavu tfei. They said, well, don't you think you would want to pay more for that? Amru lei v'achi shaklinu. He said, well, that's how much I paid for them. Amru lei didach niu. And then so then they said to him, well, the truth is that yes, these actually are the ones you bought. These are yours. V'shaklinu minach. And we took them from you. Amru lei. So that's the end of the actual event. But then it says, Amru lei. So now they said to this guy, the metusa minach, excuse us for asking, but b'may chashad atinan, what did you suspect us of having done when we did such an outrageous thing by stealing all your stuff when we came and when we left this morning? Amarlu, he says to them, look, I figured you guys are students of Abaye. Amarlu amina pidyan shivuya mikla lehu l'rabanan v'yechsifi l'meimerli. I figured you guys probably had a Pidyon Shavuim situation where you had to collect money fast to redeem hostages, and you didn't want to mention it to me, and so you had to do this maneuver for good purposes. Amru lei. So they said to him, I guess they didn't really own up that, no, it wasn't that, it was just to test you. So in any case, they said, okay, well, in any case, we don't need the things now, here you go. So why don't you take these things back? Amar luhu, he said to them, no, I can't take them back. Mehahu shata, from the moment that I saw that you guys took these things, asachtenu midai toi letzedakah. I was committed already to donating these things to tzedakah, and so I don't have any claim on them, and just, dispose of them in tzedakah the way you think appropriate. Okay, so the guy was very righteous. Now, we were told in the previous Amud that Rava used to get only an annual visit from Shemayim, from the Malach from Shemayim, And he was jealous of Abaye, who got a weekly visit. So Kachal Shadaite de Rava Mishem de Abaye. Amrulay. So they said to him, Mistayach, Dekam Meganis Akula Kracha. They said to him, "Don't you have nothing to be jealous of? Isn't it enough for you that your zechus is protecting your whole town?" Okay, new story. Rabbi Baroka Choza, Havashchiach Beshuka Debei left. This Rabbi Baroka, the seer, used to roam around the malls in Bei Left, and Havashchiach Eliyahu Gabe. And happened to be also, just for background purposes, we should understand that he used to get regular visits of Eliyahu Hanavi. And so that one time they happened to have been schmoozing. And Amar Lei, and so this Rebbe Baroka Choza asks Eliyahu, Ika Behai Shuka Bar Alma Diyasi, thinking as if Eliyahu was kind of plugged into the systems up in heaven to always keep live monitoring of who's welcome in and not. I don't know. We used to think that there's like a din after a person dies, so it's not obvious yet what they're going to be. But this Gemara is taking it, assuming that there are some clear people who are clearly invited in Tisha Mayim. So he's asking him, do you know, as you look around the mall over here, if there's anybody who is who's aimed at Olam Haba. So he doesn't say to him, what do you mean? Everybody. Kol Yisrael yesh l'chilki Olam Haba. I don't know. I don't know why he didn't say that. Could have said that. But he didn't say that. Amar Lei lo. He says to him, let me look around. No. Okay, that's a pretty distressing report on the people. Ad hachi v'hachi chazal hu gavra. But, you know, as they were talking, he looked around and he says, oh, wait a minute, I didn't see that guy over there. Yeah, that guy. That guy is for Olam Haba. But who was that guy? It says here, they saw a guy to have a siyam misani uchmi. Below Rami chuti de tilta beglime. They saw this guy. He was wearing black shoes and didn't have tchelis in his tzitzis. And a shagetz. The guy mamish wearing black shoes and not tchelis in his tzitzis. I mean, you wouldn't expect a guy like that to be aimed at Olam Haba. Can't believe it. Well, with everybody in the yeshivas. But in any case, no. Obviously, the context is everything here. And so really what it means is that he was wearing the style of the goyim. He was wearing the goyish shoes, and he didn't have tzitzis at all. Chuta de techelta is just another way of saying the tzitzis at all. So Amar Lei, Bai Bar Alma Diyasihu. So Leo said, oh, that guy is for sure admitted to Olam Haba. Roed Basrei. So then this Rebbe Baroka Choza goes and chases him down. Amar Lei, Mai Uvedach. Oh, can I ask you, what do you do? Amar Lei, so he says to him, I can't talk to you now. Zilha Idna B'Salamachar. I can't talk to you now. Come back tomorrow. Okay, so Lamachar, the next day. Amar Lei, Mai Uvedach. What do you do? Amalei zandukna ana. Rashi says that this means I'm the prison guard. V'yasarna gavri l'chud v'nashi l'chud, and I keep the men prisoners separate from the women prisoners. V'ramina purai bein hani lahani, and I keep my bed in between. Kechi de lo leisulei yisura, so that there shouldn't be any kind of trouble between them. Yichazina bas Yisrael the yohavin achrim alai nayu. And if I ever see that among the prisoners there's the Jewish girl and the goyim are starting up with her, so masarna nafshoi matzil nala, and I make sure to protect her. Yom echad abes narim urasa gabon diyohavu banachem einayu. We one time we had a girl who was actually married, but married with Arison. We don't have this practice anymore. They used to get married before they were ready to start a family. That was Arison. Yeah, they would give her a ring, and then they would be married, and they would have a small party at that time. But then, you know, everybody would go home, and they wouldn't start a family yet. But she was, in the meantime, she was a married woman. The husband was also a married man, but that didn't mean as much. So she was a married woman. She was there somehow or other in this prison. And they were, and then you know, Yahavo. So here's what I did. I took a little wine and I splashed it a little onto her clothes, and I told everybody, "Oh, you better stay away. She's Anita." The Amri Distanahi, and that apparently meant something to these hooligans, and so fine. Okay. Amrle, my time a less lachute. So he says to him, "What's the matter? You don't have tzitzis on." Yochmi, and you're wearing these black shoes. How do you account for that bizarre behavior? Amrle, he says to him, "Because my whole activity is among the Nachrim, is among the Goyim, and I'm kind of a spy, or at least I'm a kind of a covert operator." So that they shouldn't realize that I'm Jewish. And kihavu gazri gezirta, and also, whenever I find out about some kind of impending trouble of a gezeira from the Goyisher leadership, the Goyim, the government,
Courts.
modana lehu l'rabbanan, maybe the courts, maybe the I don't know, so, I don't know, whoever has some authority to. I quickly tell the Rabbanan so they can take action. What action do they take? Pray. Why was it that yesterday when I asked you, you told me that you can't talk, I have to come back the next today? Well, at that time it happened to have been that I was in the middle of relaying the message because they had actually resolved to do some kind of a thing, make some trouble. The Amina, so I said, I better fast. So I better go and tell the Rabbanan so that they should pray to Hashem to have this canceled. So okay, so in any case, that was the end of this guy's story. While they were kind of still chatting, apparently Eliyahu was standing nearby listening to all this also. So while they were just pokes him and he says to him, "Oh look, those two guys also." Trey. These two guys. On the side it says Trey Achi, two brothers. Amar lehu, Amar leh, so this Eliyahu tells this Rebbe Baruch HaChozah, Hanach nami b'nei Alma d'yasi ninu. These guys are also aimed at Olam HaBa. Azo legabayu. So then also this Rebbe Baruch HaChozah needed to know the secrets here. So he runs after those guys, and Amar lehu mayovadich ovadaihu. So he says to these guys, what do you do? Amrulay, they said to him, Inshi baduchi anan. Well, we're comedians. Mevadchinan atzive. Now we cheer up people who are sad. Inami. Or another thing that we do. Kichazinan bei tre, this lehutigra, or whenever we see people fighting, behadayu, among themselves, tarchinan veyavdinan, settle things and make and calm them down and make them make up. All right, nice stories. Two dots. Back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah was talking about tragedies or trouble on Yud Tes Amud Aleph, it says these are kinds of threats, I guess, that we would fast about or we would sound an alarm for. It says here two dots. Tana Rabbanan, Al Elu Masriyin B'chol Makom. The following threats we would insist on immediately escalating the response to the Teruah level fast, the high intensity fasting, complete with Teruahs and everything. Al Elu Masriyin B'chol Makom. This is we'll do this all around the whatever the makom is, country. Al Hashidafon and Ve'al Hayirakon. When we're seeing problems with the Tevuah, with the crops. Al arbev v'chasil, also locust, these are all also going to be problems with the food. Al chayirah, or if you're seeing some wild animals that are starting up, that are making trouble. Rabbi Yakiva Omer al hashidafon v'al yirakon b'chol shehu. Rabbi Akiva would give some shiurim here. He says, well, shidafon or yerakon, any minimal amount. As soon as you see the effects of these things, you would immediately sound the alarm. And arbe v'chasil, afilu lo nira beretzuzel, afilu knaf echad, masrina lehen. This point being that as soon as any of these things are seen, you sound the alarm. All right, two dots. Valchaya, the chayra means the wild animals are making trouble. Tanarbanan, chaya rashi amru. When we're talking about such animals, we're talking about things like wolves, hyenas, jackals. These are the animals that would have been in Eretz Yisrael, would be causing trouble. We're only going to, not just the sighting of these animals, but it has to be when you're seeing that they are posing a threat, that they looks like they're going to make trouble. And Rashi understands Mishulachas means Mishulachas min hashamayim, which means you can see that this is clearly a threat that b'hashamayim they're bringing against us. In other words, there must be something abnormal about what they're doing, these animals. So it says here, Eizahim Mishulachas. Well, how do you know? Eizahim Mishulachas. It gives you some indicators. Niras be'ir Mishulachas. Besara'in Mishulachas. If you're seeing these animals in the cities, then that's clearly unnatural, and that's a threat. Besada ain't a mishulachas. That's where they always are in the sada, so that doesn't mean anything. Beyom mishulachas. If you're seeing them during the daytime, then that means there's a threat. But belaila ain't a mishulachas. But at night, that's where these animals roam around at night. That's not really unnatural. Rasa shnei b'nei adam b'rasa sachrayan. If you see one of these animals chasing two people, mishulachas. I don't know, we're talking two adults, I don't know. Anyway, two people, so that's unnatural, chasing them, that's mishulachas. If nif beis mipnayhen, ain't a mishulachas. But if you see the animal is afraid of them, then that's not really a threat. Tarfa shnei b'nei adam b'yachla echad mehen, mishulachas. What if it actually attacks two people and eats one? You have to be kind of standing around watching all of this, I guess. But in any case, if that's what you saw, two people were being chased down, and it kills both, but only eats one of them. So that means that it wasn't killing to eat; it was killing just to attack. That's unnatural. Then mishulachas. But if achla shenaya made him mishulachas,
one is being saved for a later meal.
Maybe. I don't know if that's the habits of these animals.
Lions do that.
Okay, so then it doesn't say that maybe it has enough. Maybe it wouldn't leave it there. Maybe it would drag it to its
drag it back to its den and whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. So in any case, it seems like these are indicators of trouble. But if it eats both of them, it means it was starving. I don't know. Also, legagvenot latinok meyarisa mishulachas. What if, let's say, there was this, the animal kind of climbs up on the roof and gets into the house, and it attacks a kid and takes the kid out of the crib? So then mishulachas.
That's horrible.
Yeah. So the Gemara says, hold on a second. How do you reconcile all of these indicators? Hagufa kasha amrit nirasa be'ir mishulachas. Loshna be'yav loshna be'layla. Wait a second, you just said that if it's seen in the city, then right away, that's called mishulachas. That's already a threat. So what's the whole thing about day, night? I mean, how do you reconcile all of these indicators? And the Gemara says, well, what do you say? Be'ir mishulachas loshna be'ir loshna be'layla. Be'hadar amet be'yom mishulachas be'layla ena mishulachas. The Gemara says, lo kashi. Here's how you reconcile all of these indicators. Achi kwamer. Here's what it's trying to say. Nirasa be'ir be'yom. If the animals have been seen during the daytime in the ear, that's already alarming. Mishulachas, because that's weird. The ear, belaila, that doesn't really signify anything. And there's roaming around the alleys. Inami besada filu biyomena mishulachas. Or besada is also not so surprising. And that's where they go. They go, we're in the sada. Ra'asa shnei b'nei adam b'ra'atza achrayan mishulachas. Wait a second. How do you explain this contradiction? If you're seeing the animal chasing down the people, that's already mishulachas. But what if it's just not deterred by them? So then that already is no, that's not a safe indicator. No, I mean, if it's not chasing the people, if it's just ignoring the people, so then that's already safe. So then why do you have to turn around and say, but if it's hiding from the people, then that's safe? The middle case seems to be ambiguous. So how would you deal with a situation where you see the animal as kind of indifferent to the people? The premise is that the animals kind of hang out mostly in the yagam. The yagam is like the swamp. So if you're near the swamp, so then what that means is that the animal is more comfortable, and therefore if it ignores you, that's normal. But if it's away from the swamp, then that you would have expected it to be more intimidated by the people, and if they're not showing that intimidation, then that's a threat. Right, so that's what it said. Kan b'sara smuchal yagam, kan b'sara she'en smuchal yagam. What if tarfa shnei b'nei adam ki echar v'yachla echad mihem mishulachas? But if each shnei amin mishulachas, but wait a second, but we just said afilu ratzasa. Earlier we just said even if it's pursuing the people, if it's chasing, that's already an indication of threat. Amar Papa ki ta'anehi bi'agma. The Papa said that, well, again, it depends on context. Was it, if this was happening in the Yagam or in the Yagam area where the animals usually hang out, spend their time, and they maybe even identify as their own territory, so then just chasing people doesn't signify anything. But actually, this other behavior of attacking them, killing them, but not eating them, that would be the threat. All right, two dots. We don't respond the same way to these animals. Two dots. Gufa. Gufa means we said earlier in passing, and now we want to just discuss this a little bit more. Also, legago not latinok mayarisa mishulachas. In the case where the animal actually came into the house and took the baby, that would be mishulachas. Pshita. Can't say exactly what made it pshita, because it was a threat. It was a clearly aggressive behavior. I don't exactly know what the Gemara means when it says here pshita, but in any case, pshita. I don't really know either why is being pshita a problem in the Gemara. We're just giving examples of what are examples of threats. So I'm
we
not
had
sure
one
exactly.
recently that a bear in the country, a bear took a baby from the carriage.
Really?
In the country.
Yeah.
Last year or 2 years ago. Doesn't seem so pshita.
No, the pshita being, it's pshita that it's a threat to people.
Right,
And that's
yeah,
what
I
you're
think
saying
nothing
is, the
unusual.
bear
It's
wasn't
not
considered a wild bear that they had to
a...
hunt down because it was going to attack everybody else
I
also.
think so.
Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, okay, well, the point is that, let's say, this is even if it's kikochi ditzayadi. Rashi tries to explain some kind of a situation where, well, this was where it was near the animal traps, and so you wouldn't have necessarily thought that that was particularly aggressive behavior because the animal, something, I don't know. Okay, I don't know. Whatever it is, talking about some kind of situation where you might have been some reason to think it wasn't so aggressive. All right, two dots. Alachera. That was referring to the fact that when you're having a kind of an army, or some, I guess it's an army, that is marching through the land, then that's you raise the alarm. That's obvious. Obviously, they're attacking you. But to that, it says here, no, not they're not attacking you. Tonerbanan. Cherev she'amru ein etzarech lomer. Cherev she'ein eshel shalom. Obviously, if they're going to be on the attack, but ela hafilu cherev shel shalom. Now, even if they weren't planning on attacking you, so then why? Just for maneuvers? Why are they coming? To pass through, presumably. To attack the other thing. That was like what we learned on Tisha B'Av, the Yoshio story. And this is what's going to happen. The next half an omen is all about the Yoshio story. So let's see.
Learn, skip that part.
Yeah, or we can kind of zoom through this part. Let's see. Now maybe there are some nuances here that the rabbi didn't capture. So it says here, She'ein l'cherev shel shalom yosher mipar necho. There was nobody who would be more of a non-threat than Paro Necho. I don't exactly know why, but unless it was that particular instance where he was going to try to passed through Eretz Yisrael in order to attack the Assyrians or the Arameans or people up there in the north. And so, if anything, we would have been pleased. Let them all kill each other out. I mean, that would have been fine for us. We would have been very happy to encourage that action. It's like the Iran-Iraq war. But that keep going. Anyway, Avo BK Nichshel Ba Melk Yoshiyahu. But Yoshiyahu was... Yoshiyahu met his doom over there. Shenemar Amid Beis Vayishlach Elav Malachim Lemar Mali Valach Melach Yehuda Lo Alecha Ata Yom Kiel Beis Milchamti Velo Kima Mar Levaha Leni Chadalach Melachim Asherei Mi Vial Yashchisecha. Okay. In any case, point being that there was some kind of a diplomatic message that was sent to Yoshiyahu Melach from the Mitzrim, pretty much asking him to be allowed to travel through Israel in order to get up north. So the Psukim refer that this the message had to do a lot with God. So what does that mean? Elohim asher yimi yir, Elohim asher yimi. Yom Rav Yehuda Marav Zovod Azara. Rav Yehuda Marav says that he was referring to, like he was invoking the name of his Avod Azara. Amar Hoel V'Kabatach B'Avod Azara. So Yoshiyahu is saying to himself now, oh, well, he's coming specifically in the claim that he's doing the job of this Avodah Zarah of his. So then he's not going to have any power over us. But he was wrong. And then it says, Vayoru hayorim lemelech Yoshiyahu. When Yoshiyahu came out to resist this movement of the troops, then it says that they attacked him and they killed him. They shot him. They shot him. Yoshiyahu tells to his people, "Haviruni kiecheleisi, get me out of here because I'm in bad shape." Meod. My echeleisi meod. Well, what does that mean? Echeleisi meod. I guess it's an unusual word. Amrav Yehuda Amrav Malamish Yasuba Kol Gufo Kekivara. Somehow or other, there must be some kind of linguistic connection between the Shorash of Achalesi and a Kavara. Kavara is a sieve, full of holes. So it says, what he means is, they've shot me full of holes. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan or Yochanan, somebody, Nipnei Man Anash Yoshio. So they're kind of wondering about the whole story in retrospect. Why was Yoshiyahu able to be attacked by the Mitzrim? Why wasn't his cheshbon a good cheshbon? Mipnei shehayololi malech miYirmiyahu velo nimlach. Because Yirmiyahu Hanavi was active at the time, and Yoshiyahu should have consulted with Yirmiyahu, make sure that he was doing the right move. This is exactly the job of the Navi, is to make sure that these kinds of major decisions that affected the whole country are supposed to be getting Hashem's endorsement. We don't have the benefit of prophecy nowadays, but at least when they had it, that should have been the right thing. Midrash. So why didn't he feel that he needed to? Why did he feel confident in the decision that he made? Because the pasuk says, "V'cherev lo sa'avor b'yartzachem." It's part of the psukim in Bechukosai, which describes the benefits of being being Shomrei Tzivuyei Hashem. When you're doing what the Ratzon Hashem is, then Hashem is promising all kinds of protections. And Yoshio was convinced that that refers to him and his people. Pasuk says, "Cherev lo savar b'yatzachem." You're not going to have the sword pass through your land. My cherev? Which sword are we talking about? Ilayim echerev she'en shel shalom. You're talking about the sword of battle? Ksiv and asati shalom ba'aretz. That already said. It already said in the psukim earlier that the land will be at peace. Cherev shel shalom. Even, we're talking about it, even weapons of peace are not going to bother your land, which means they're not even going to pass by. So if that's the way he understood the psukim and the promise that Hashem was giving us to us who are osim ritzono, then what went wrong? He didn't really realize that his people were not quite at that level and they didn't quite earn that kind of protection. When Yoshiyahu was lying there dying, he saw that he was trying to say something. He saw his mouth was moving. Omar. So Yirmiyahu thought the worst of Yoshio, and he was thinking, oh, Shema Chas V'Shalom Milsa Delom Agno Amar. Oh, I hope he's not saying something inappropriate, even though that would have certainly been understandable. He was just shot up like a sieve, but he was doing a Ratzon Hashem. But in any case, Amar Agav Tzarei Gachin V'Shalom, Agav Tzarei. He's afraid that maybe Yoshio, because of his suffering, is saying something heretical. Gachim v'shamei. So he leaned over to listen to what he was saying. The kamatzdika le dina anafshei. Amar tzadik v'Hashem kifihu marisi. He heard no on the opposite. It was a tzadik din. He was justifying Hashem's actions because he realized that he didn't do the right thing. Pasacha le'a hishaita ruach ha'peinim Mashiach Hashem. Okay. Two dots. Master v'yardu zikenim Yerushalayim li'areihem. This is back to the Mishnah. Mishnah says, once upon a time, there was a whole problem with, what was it? This thing had to do with, Nira Kemalopi Taner Shidafo in Biashkelon. Okay, well, the way out on the south end of Eretz Yisrael, they had a problem. Shidafon was seen in the crops. But the way it was described there is a Melopi Taner. Melopi Taner was an oven opening full of Taner. Now, Melo, incidentally, I'm pretty sure that the word Melo does not just mean Male. It doesn't mean the full of. It means the size of. I think it often works in Gemaras and everything. The word Melo just means the size or the amount of. So that's what it certainly looks like over here. Saying that they had the amount of Pitaner of the stuff, the grain already was exhibiting these signs of shidafon, and so they sounded the alarm. But now the question is, Eboilahu kimelo tanur tevua odimaklo tanur pas. What exactly are we talking about? You don't put grain into the oven. What do you do with an oven? You put the flour in that you mixed into with the water into it, bake that in the oven. So you wouldn't measure grain growing in terms of a quantity that you would put into the tanner. So they were trying to figure out what did that mean? Kamilo tanner pas or kamilo. So in other words, how much grain it would have taken to make a tanner's worth of pas. Yeah, the truth is, I don't quite understand what the question over here is. It never said that this is a minimum amount in order to justify sounding the alarm. Remember, the Mishnah said, at least Rabbi Akiva was saying, that any little bit, you don't have to wait until there's enough of it there. Any bit that you see, you sound the alarm. And happened to have been, Maisa, that the Zakenim heard the reports that there was this certain quantity of tanner. So I'm not sure exactly why it was that important to clarify the facts of this event. But in any case, they tried to get a good handle on exactly how much was affected how much was affected in this story. So it says here, is it Melo Tanur Tevua or Melo Tanur of Pas? Tashma Kemelo Pi Tanur. Had that answer anything? Rashi and Tosis try to explain. Well, the implication being that it's not the tevua, that it's the flour, it's the dough. So it's a pitaner's worth of bread. Okay, I mean, if you were a farmer, I guess you would know what the conversion is. How much would have to grow in order to accomplish that much flour to make that much bread? But dainty boy, well, they were still actually unsure about something in the story. Is it kikisuya ditanuro dilma ki dar derifta? We're talking about just amount of bread that would be placed right around the opening of the tanur, or are we talking about that it would fill the entire tanur's worth even up to the opening? The harder lilapume, the tanur. Anyway, where it says teku. Well, we're not sure exactly what happened at that time. Shouldn't really matter. Oddly enough, in the Shulchan Aruch, they actually do quote this as being the shear to raise the alarm. I don't really understand why. It didn't seem like that should have been necessary. That happened to have been the anecdote. It was just that was the amount that they had at that time. But Shulchan Aruch quotes it in any case. Makes it difficult to apply, because the Gemara says we don't even know what the shear represents. And in Shulchan Aruch, they're deliberately vague. They just refer to it in the same, using the same words, and they don't clarify. Two dots. The Yod Gazer will tiny sal shalach l'zeivim. Now the story happened that there were wolves that were prowling around, and not only that, but even what these wolves do.
They were hungry.
Well, they weren't just hungry; they were only temporarily hungry, and then they satisfied their hunger somehow. It says, "Achlu ze'evim shnei tinokos be'eder hayarden." This was going on the other side of the Yarden, and they still sounded the alarm even throughout Israel. Tudatz amarula. This has nothing to do with anything, but since we talked about wolves eating humans, so once there was a time when a couple of wolves or whatever were eating, they actually grabbed a hold of a kid and ate up the whole kid, and then over time excreted the remains. So the question was, whatever else was going on there, one of the questions was, a dead human body is a source of tuma. So, or is it even a source of tuma even after it's been digested? So it says here, v'hekiyum derech beis harei, it was excreted. Uba ma'isa lefnei chachamim v'tiharu es habasar. They said the flesh doesn't anymore mitame at all. It's just considered to be the waste product from the digestion of the wolf. But v'tima weso atzamos. But human bones are still a source of tuma, and those weren't digested, so those are still intact, and that's going to still be a source of tuma. Okay, didn't have anything to do with our Mishnah. Tudatz aleilu masri and bishabis. Okay, the Mishnah then refers to different kinds of calamities that people become aware of on Shabbos, and they want to sound the alarm on Shabbos. Tan rabbanan irshek yifuha nachrim o nahar. One of the calamities would be a city that you hear is being surrounded by Nachrim, besieged by Nachrim, or that the river is flooding into the place. V'yechad sfina mitrefes b'yam, or the ship that they're seeing is being tossed there offshore.
Are you talking about people on the ship now, or no?
No. This is the ship. This is all the people nearby. The Yechad Yachid and Nirdaf Mipnei Nachrim, or somebody who's being chased by the Goyim, if you're aware of this, you sound the alarm. Mipnei Listim, or being chased by robbers. Mipnei Ruach Ra, or somebody who you see is having some kind of a seizure, some kind of a fit, and you're seeing that they're dangerous, and that you have to try to kind of contain them or something. Keep them safe. Al kulan yachid rashay l'sagiv satzmo b'tanis. So now we have a different thing going on here. As Bryce also says, if you see any of these and you're helpless and you want to do something, you are permitted to fast. L'sagiv satzmo b'tanis as a way of addressing the need, as a way of doing something. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ena Yachid Rashay L'Sagiv Satzmo B'Tanis. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can't do that. Do whatever, do some other kind of a thing that'll be helpful. That's not going to be, that's not okay. You can't choose self-immolation, even in the form of a fast, in order to try to help the situation. Why? Because Shema Yitzarech L'Brios V'Ena Brios M'Rachamos Alav. Because you may, by doing so, you may cause too much trouble to yourself, and then people are not going to merachem on you. I don't exactly know what the calculation is over here. So then, therefore, what? So then, all you're doing is doing something that's just going to make everybody have to then take care of you as well as take care of that situation. I don't know. But in any case, the point is that you're not allowed to fast for no good reason, or even if it's a good reason, it has to be a good enough reason. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rav. My time at the Rabbi Yossi, Rav. Rabbi Yehuda quotes from Rav, what's Rabbi Yossi the Tana's position? Based on a pasuk, Dechsiv, it says in Bereishis, Vayhi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya, that the human became alive. But the drasha that Rabbi Yossi would be making, according to Rav, is, Neshama shenasati bach hachayei. If I gave you life, you're required to take care of it, to keep it healthy. Because then actually, it's a very important drasha, and I don't know why it doesn't get a lot more press, this drasha, about neshama shenasati bach hachayei. You're required to take care, make sure that your body is healthy. Hey, two dots. Shimon and Timni. So he was saying that that's why you can't just fast, because that will do harm to your body. Not necessarily in a culture of overeating or anything. Just presumably, you know, when people generally were only eating enough to get by. Okay, two dots. Shimon and Timni Yomer Afala Dever. Shimon and Timni was saying that even Dever is something for which you would fast. And it says velo even on Shabbos and velo hodelo chachamim, velo hodelo chachamim, and they did not agree with his statement. The Gemara is a little bit unclear. What didn't they agree with? Yiboylehu lo hodelo chachamim Shabbos. They didn't like the fact that he permitted this on Shabbos of el bechol hodelo, and therefore it had to do more with a Shabbos fasting situation. Oh, dilma lo hodelo klal, or maybe it means that they didn't think that you ought to be fasting at all because of a situation of dever. What's dever? Is some kind of a disease is spreading that's affecting the people. People are getting sick. There's some kind of an epidemic, some kind of a spread of disease, something or other. And so it says that this Shimon and Timni felt that was also the kind of a thing people should fast over. And the lohod lo chachamim. And the question is, they didn't think that that's the right response at all? Why in the world not? So, let's see. The Gemara says, well, let's first answer the question. Was there objection specific to Shabbos, or was it a universal objection? It says here, Yiboylehu lohodeh lo cham yishabbos aval b'chol hodeh lo dilma lohodeh lo klal tashma. Let's see if we can get an answer from this tradition. Desanya, it says in this brisa, masrin ala dever b'shabbos vein sarachom b'chol. The Tanakhama of the brisa says that you sound the alarm for dever even on Shabbos, certainly chol. Rabbi Chanan bar Ben Pittum, Talmidus Rabbi Akiva, quoted from Rabbi Akiva saying, "Ein masrin ala dever kol ikar." So presumably, this machlokas in this brisa corresponds to the Mishnah, and therefore we're being told that when Dever is out there, when there's some kind of a medical problem that's spreading, that they're afraid is going to be spreading, don't encourage people to fast. So why not? So the way it's described over here, I didn't see it in Rashi, but at least then Mefarshim and the Shulchan Aruch say because fasting will just weaken you and make you more susceptible to the problem. So don't fast. Keep yourself healthy and do some other kind of an intervention. I had the impression that this was when there was a cholera thing at various times. Also, same kind of a thing. That on the contrary, the response was everybody has to eat, even on fast days, and you're not allowed to be fasting because that just makes you more vulnerable. Okay, so that sounds like this is what was going on over here. All right. Two dots. I'll call Tzar Shel Tov al Tzibur. Okay, and any other kind of threat that affects the people, they sound the alarm and they make taniyos as appropriate, except for one. Chutz, it says in the Mishnah, chutz mirov gishamim, except if it's too much rain. And if that's causing trouble, there's nothing you can do really about that. All right, two dots. Tanar banan, al kol tzar shel tov al tzibur masrin aleha. Chutz mirov gishamai taima. Why? Amar Rabbi Yochanan levish ein mispalel mal rov tova. Because Rabbi Yochanan says, because it's not right to pray that Hashem's bounty should be withheld. The Yomer Rabbi Yochanan minayin she'im espalel amal rova tova. How do you know? How do I know this? Or how do I know that they know this? Or how do I understand that they felt this way? Based on Pesukim Shneamar, based on Pasuk in Malachi, Havi was called a maser el beis ha'otzar. Okay, the Pasuk was saying, you know, bring all the maser to the storehouses and the Terif Bevesi, the Chanunin Abizos. That was that story in Daf Tes Amud Aleph, where the kid was saying, how do I know that Maestro will make you rich? If you're generous with your Maestros, or if you're careful about Maestros. Based on this pasuk, it says, the Chanunin Abizos, and test me, and you'll see that I am true to my word. But anyway, the pasuk keeps going, Imlori Kosil Chem Bracha Ad Beli Dai, and see if I don't bestow Bracha upon you Ad Beli Dai. It's a weird expression, Ad Beli Dai, to the point where it's not enough. That can't be the intent of the Pasuk. My Ad Beli Dai, what does that expression mean? I'm Rabbi Bar Rav. or Rav somebody, ad sheyivolu sifso seichem melo mar dai. So until the point where your mouths are worn out from saying dai, enough, okay, it's enough, okay, stop. So even with under those conditions, Hashem, that must imply that when it comes to Hashem's bracha, like rain, you're not supposed to resist that and to ask for it to stop. Amar Rabbi Bar Yud says the following: Begola, however, all of that's only true in Eretz Yisrael. Begola, everything is different. Like probably based on Pesukim in this coming parsha about how Hashem, you're coming into a special place. Limitar Hashemayim Tishtemayim and Eini Hashem Elokachaba Meirish Hashanah. So Eretz Yisrael, Hashem monitors the rain more closely than in Chutz La'aretz. So this is Begola. If it's raining too much, you can pray that stop. Masri and Aleha, Tanya Namiyachi, a similar kind of a thing, that in Eretz Yisrael, Shana Shagishmeha, Merubin, Anshe Mishmar, Sholchen Li Anshe Maimad, Tenu Einechem, Biachechem Shabagola, Shalohi Batehem, Kivrehem. Okay, similar kind of a thing, the Braisa, where it was too much rain, and you're hearing reports in the Chutz La'aretz about too much rain, so then the Kohanim that are coming off duty would tell the next Kohanim, make sure you pray for the people in Chutz La'aretz that they shouldn't be buried in their homes. Also, that probably is also related to the fact that the Gemara earlier also says that Bavel is more in a depression, and so water collects there more. And I don't know. In any case, Shalu es Rabbi Eliezer, Arechen gishamim yordim v'yispalalu shelo yerdu. They were asking Rabbi Eliezer the Tana, how much rain should there be for us to pray that it stop? Amar lahem, he says to them, what really amounts to never, because that's what we just said. But I say, he says to them, well, kedei sheyamod adam b'keren afal, v'yishachshech raglav b'mayim. So much rain, let's say that if a person is standing there in keren afal, Rashi says that's a high cliff somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, and your feet are getting wet from the water level that's risen so high. The Tani Yardu, right now they just pick on a little detail here. Hold on a minute. There's another Braisa that quotes this as being that your hands are wet. Yadav. The Gemara answers, okay, same thing. Raglav ki Yadav kamin. I'm talking about you'd bend over and you would feel the water level up to your feet. The point is, that's anyway, it's an exaggeration, and it never gets that high. And it would just flood the entire country if it ever got that high. So that's just not whatever happens. I'm a Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana reports, oh, incidentally, you know, I once saw that place, Keren Afal. Chazili Keren Afal. Dekama hu taya, kirachiv gamla, v'noket rumcha biyadei, mischazi iniva. I once saw that. I was once standing there on that cliff, and I saw down below was this taya, an Arab, who was riding on his chamor, and he had a big stick in his hand, and I was looking down, and he looked like a little bug. So I was just describing about how much, how high up this Keren Afal place is. And, okay. All right. Yeah. Sure.